This is Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman. Over the next hour, Mark will break down geek speak into street speak so you know what's hot, what's not, and why.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're all doing great out there on this third weekend of January and that you started your year off on the right foot. Thank you for tuning into Tech Talk, where I try each week to bring you the latest in tech, but in a language you can understand. So you can put away your geek to English dictionary, as you won't need it here. On today's show, Samsung just unveiled its new Galaxy S24 family of smartphones. I was in San Jose for its Unpacked event this week. And the AI on these phones, the artificial intelligence packed into these, will blow you away. For real. We'll start off with that in a moment. Speaking of phones, if you like to take photos on your smartphone, we've got some tips to upping your game in 2024. We'll speak with Toronto tech journalist and photographer Ted Kritsonis on the show today with ways to take better photos. Call it phonography 101, if you will. We'll also talk about a flying car concept called the Jetson One. A flying car? Yep, the Jetsons indeed. And we'll explore a dating app for music lovers called Vinyl.ly, especially considering Valentine's Day is coming up. Will this app be music to your ears, or will it hit a sour note? We'll learn all about Vinyl.ly later on in the program. All of this and more on an all-new Tech Talk powered by Chevrolet Canada, which I'll tell you more about shortly. But let's officially kick off this week's show with our first interview from San Jose. So as I talked about earlier in the show, I had the privilege of attending Galaxy Unpacked in San Jose. This is Samsung's biannual unveiling of its new devices, this time tied to its flagship Galaxy S series of smartphones. Joining us to tell us all about the new Galaxy S24 and the Galaxy AI that's powering them, we're joined by Raj Doshi. He's head of mobile at Samsung Electronics Canada. Welcome back to the show, Raj. Good to chat with you again.
Hey, good to chat with you, Mark.
There's a trio of new devices. So before we get to Galaxy AI, which I really think is the real story here, please tell us a bit about each of the new smartphones, the Galaxy S24 family.
Sure. So the flagship product within the Galaxy S24 series is the Ultra, and it's got some of the best of the best in terms of capabilities. We've added a titanium frame and Corning Gorilla Glass that really improves durability and longevity. Also, in terms of color, some exciting mineral-based colors that take advantage of the titanium, as well as color choices, including black, gray, violet, titanium, green, blue, and orange. And so it's really, really exciting. Improvement, obviously, we're a standout in terms of the camera, and the camera gets even better with a better sensor, but also improvement in the optical zoom using the 50 megapixel sensor and going as high as 100 times digital zoom. So fantastic capabilities in terms of the physical attributes of the camera. And lastly, obviously nothing less than the best in terms of processor, the Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 mobile platform, which will give both the AI support as well as gaming and other visual and video capabilities.
All right. So obviously, like every year and other phone makers as well, there's improvements in the screen, in the processor, in the cameras. But this year, I'd really argue that Galaxy AI, which is, I guess, an umbrella term, this is pretty wild and a key differentiator between Samsung and other devices. So I was able to test this out here in San Jose this morning. Please explain to our listeners, Raj, what Galaxy AI is. And let's go through some of the examples of it, because there are many.
There are many, as you said. And in fact, I think with all of the processing capabilities supported by the new Galaxy AI platform, there's a lot of enablement that are there. I'd really classify them in three real areas. One is to improve communications. Second is to improve productivity. And third is to improve creativity and help customers take advantage of their creative license and gaming aspects of what they would do with the device. So if I really highlight some of the key capabilities that I think are very exciting, the first would be Live Translate. So this is a very unique capability within the S series. And just imagine that you're trying to have a conversation with someone in a different language. In call, you will be able to speak, let's say, in English, and it will translate to Korean. So the other person will hear your discussion in Korean. And inversely, when they speak in Korean, it will translate back to you in English, both verbally, and you'll be able to see the text on the phone. So it is really a powerful capability in terms of Live Translate. This AI translation engine then is expanded and leveraged in many other aspects, including transcript. So if, imagine you're in a meeting. It will be supported with Transcript Assist. So you can record the meeting, it will translate automatically, and even with the AI capability, summarize the notes. And if it's in a different language, you can have it translate to the language of your choice. So the power of being able to communicate and summarize instantaneously with meeting notes is hugely powerful. Those meeting notes can then also be classified so that they can be searched later. So from a productivity standpoint, very powerful. The other aspect in working with Google, obviously search is one of the most frequently used services. We've worked them to partner on the launch of Circle to Search. And just think about any social media video picture that you're looking at, you can actually press the home button and it will basically allow you to take any picture or visual that you see on the screen, circle it, and it will, based on that circle, search for the information, both in terms of it could be a shopping opportunity, it could be a landmark for travel, it could be a landmark for identification. So a very, very powerful way to search versus having to type stuff in.
So again, another application, if I may, Raj, we are chatting with Raj Doshi, head of mobile at Samsung Electronics Canada. One of the cool Circle to Search demos that I saw today was not even having to take a photo of someone's sneakers. Like you just launch the camera and it just shows, you know, what the camera was pointing to. And she was showing her pair of kicks. Imagine you're standing behind somebody in line at Starbucks and you like their shoes. You can just like open up your phone and then circle that the picture of the shoes that they're wearing, and it'll immediately give you all that information. I mean, that was really cool today, I have to say. But as you said, it works with anything that's on the screen. So you could be watching YouTube or Netflix and you like what someone is wearing or eating or whatever, and you can immediately buy it right there.
Exactly. And I think that's the power of it, is that it's available instantaneously on the phone and while you're watching or looking at anything on the phone, both be it a camera picture, but more importantly, any social media where you see something you like, and it could be for purchase, it could be for interest, and the search engine will automatically, and it's a generative search engine, so it'll learn and continue to improve as you do more searches.
Right. Or if you see a picture of like a cathedral in a magazine or online on your phone, and you can even ask it, what's the closest airport to that church, and how much are flights from where I live to go to that country, and can you build me a 3-day itinerary, knowing that my budget may be on the low end, you know, so don't pick high-end restaurants. Like you can do and have a conversation with the AI about it. Speaking of photos and videos, Raj, can you tell us a bit about the Gen AI when it comes to images?
For sure. So as I described, creativity is one of the biggest pieces, and everybody loves to take pictures and, you know, use them for sharing or posting as would be on social media. The AI-based tools, some of the capabilities may be deep ingrained in the camera capabilities, but with AI, we're able to bring forward some of those things to improve the quality of their pictures in terms of mastering, in terms of editing, in terms of removing or moving people or things within the picture to create that perfect picture for sharing. And so this capability used to be more difficult to access for some customers. Now with the AI capabilities, it'll bring forward the capabilities based on the picture it sees and how to improve it. Additionally, even in our video taking, we have introduced instant slow-mo so that once you've taken the video, you can actually turn it into a slow motion video for sharing. And there are sometimes things that you can capture in slow-mo that you can't in the fast process.
Yeah, that was a cool demo. And the ability to isolate part of an image, like a skateboarder, and zooming it as if you were closer to them, putting them higher up in the air, maybe on an angle. Or another demo I saw was of a shadow obstructing somebody's face, just tapping the AI to remove that shadow. Or there's like a reflection in a nearby window. I mean, it was pretty powerful stuff. I've seen some of the, you know, magic eraser stuff on other Android devices, but this took it to the next level.
That's exactly it. We're making all our customers professional photographers and editors. So we'll see some polished pictures.
As if the 100 zoom lens didn't help us out enough.
Exactly.
Before we wrap up and talk when it's available in Canada and pre-orders and all that, what's your favorite Galaxy AI feature? If I had to force you to pick one, Raj?
You're forcing me to pick two, because I can't just pick one. But I'll tell you the two that really excite me amongst the whole list. One is Circle to Search, which is exciting because searching is something that I think we and customers do all the time. Yeah. And so this makes it so easy and convenient to do. And then I think from a Canadian context, Live Translate is really powerful, especially considering a new to country and the high levels of immigration. I think that is a lot of opportunity in the Canadian context. Fair. And that's why I picked two. And it's something that, you know, each individual is going to pick what's best for them. But I think these are two very revolutionary capabilities leveraging AI.
Very cool. And 13 languages to start.
And that'll continue to grow as time goes, though.
All right. So when will these new Galaxy S24 devices be available in Canada?
So the customers can go to Samsung.ca or our Samsung stores or our major carrier and retail partners and pre-order the devices now. With the pre-orders, there's some exciting offers, including double storage, exciting trade bonuses, financing, and free shipping if you order from the site. So some really great stuff to do. And then with that, a lot of offers are equal products that really bring out the capabilities, including our Galaxy Watch 6, our buds and tablets. So customers really can and should take advantage of these propositions today.
Okay, so pre-orders are open now, but when are the devices available?
The devices will be available starting January the 31st. So if you pre-order, you'll be first in line to get those devices in your hands and leverage not just the physical, but also the AI-based capabilities.
Okay, so just 10 days away. And
yes,
then finally, for all this Galaxy AI software and services, that this is for the Galaxy S24 family, the new family. But if I'm not mistaken, at some point during the first half of the year, our listeners who own a Galaxy S23 device can also download many of these capabilities.
Yeah, that's right. Our capabilities will expand to the S23 series, the S23 FE, the Galaxy Z Fold 5, Flip 5, as well as the Galaxy Tab S9 family.
Okay, awesome. And then again, the best website is Samsung.ca.
That is correct. So encourage customers to take advantage of the offers and be the first to use and enjoy the devices.
All right. Raj Doshi has been our guest, head of mobile at Samsung Electronics Canada. Congratulations on the official unveiling of the S24 and Galaxy AI. All the best. Looking forward to chatting with you again soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Speaking of smartphones, we're going to learn how to take better photos with them when we catch up with Toronto journalist Ted Kritsonis when we return on Tech It Out. I'm your host, Mark Saltzman. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a great weekend. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman, Canada's go-to tech authority for the past 25 years. Here's Tech Talk.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, powered by Chevrolet Canada. The all-new 2023 Chevrolet Colorado has leveled up its tech. Outside, its Multimatic DSSV shocks and available factory lifted suspension make sure you're staying level on and off the road. While available first-in-class Stowflex tailgate storage gives you the flexibility you need. Inside, its 10 available camera views, 11.3 diagonal infotainment display, and fully digital driver information center make this the truck of the future. The all-new 2023 Chevrolet Colorado was made for more. Start your adventure today at Chevrolet.ca. All right. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm here in San Jose at Unpacked, Samsung's biannual event where they showcase new devices in the summer. It's the Z or Z family. And this time around, it's the S series, their flagship smartphones. I'm sitting here with Ted Kritsonis. He is a renowned technology journalist, writes for several publications in multiple countries. And he also is an expert in automotive technology, photography, travel. It's great to see you, Ted, at Unpacked. I hope you've had a good week here so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to be with you too, Mark.
So I wanted to pick your brain on photography tips for phone users. So many of our listeners, they may have at one point had a standalone camera, and some still might purchase, say, a mirrorless camera where you can change lenses and all that, or an SLR, DSLR. But for most of us, we rely on our iPhone or Android phone to take photos. Whether that's good or not, it's convenient. So I wanted to talk to you about some great tips to getting the most out of your smartphone as a camera. You have extensive experience in this space. As they say, the best camera is the one that you have with you. So I guess convenience trumps quality, but the phones are catching up in quality.
They are catching up in quality, and they're also catching up also in the type of features that are available. And I think it is ideal for people to actually study what the phone offers as far as the camera is concerned, right? So, for example, I always shoot with the grid. And by the grid, like, it's a feature that you'll see in the settings, usually in the camera app. So it separates the screen basically into quadrants or into six different boxes, right? And the idea of doing that is you're able to level your photo so that it's level, but also you can apply the rule of thirds. So this way, you don't always have to put the subject right in the middle. put them off to the side and maybe change the perspective a little bit so that you add some depth to the shot. And you'd be surprised how more artistic and more professional the shot ends up looking.
Yeah, it completely changes the energy when you play around with the rule of thirds, which is a familiar camera term for decades now, but certainly applies to phonography. And speaking of perspective, I've also seen the mistake, Ted, of tall people shooting down at shorter people, or the reverse, where people are kneeling down in order to shoot something taller than them. It can look funny. So I guess the tip is to try to match the height of your subject as best as you can, like crawl on the floor if you're trying to photograph a baby crawling on its elbows. Is that fair?
I think it depends what you're shooting. So if you are capturing a person, yes. I think generally speaking, you may want to be more level with where they are. If you want to add a perspective, like sometimes a majestic shot, if it's a person behind a landmark of some kind, that could look interesting. I find when it comes to landmarks or architecture, things like that, that's when changing perspective or using the ultra wide camera can be really cool and lead to amazing results as well. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to people, I think it depends. You'll notice that women like a top down shot, right?
Hey, I do too. Yeah. It gets rid of my double chin.
Yeah. But women don't do it for height. I mean, they do it because it just accentuates the body more, right? So there are certain things that may apply differently depending on who you're shooting. Mm-hmm. So kids will be different from adults. Women may be different from men. These aren't hard and fast rules, but they're the sort of thing that can change the way a photo looks.
Yeah. Lighting seems to be a challenge for photographers ever since photography was invented. Talk to us about maybe some of the more unique challenges that a smartphone photographer may face and how to get around those.
Okay, I got a great one for this one, okay? Because whenever I see someone use a flash on the phone, I cringe. Never use the flash on the phone. It's awful. It just doesn't travel very far. So instead, try this tip.
Yeah, it could look overexposed, right?
Well, yeah, because the flash can only travel so far. So if you're using the flash and you're capturing a person and you want to get the background, the flash is just going to wash out on the person and not capture anything else. So what I recommend is, especially if you have a couple of friends with you, have them turn on the flashlights of their phones and just sort of flank the subject, the person, right? And that way they're lit, but it doesn't affect the background or the backdrop.
So love that.
Yeah, so you end up getting a shot that really works, and that, you know, and it looks kind of almost like not a photo shoot, if you will, but it looks different from what most people are doing.
What if you're outside? Cloudy days are probably best, right? Because it sort of acts as a diffuser.
Ask any wedding photographer. They'll tell you that the overcast days are the best days.
Yeah.
Simply because the tones are softer. So skin tones, everything is softer in overcast. Now, sunlight is harsh, especially in the middle of the day. That's one of the worst times to take photos. It's the shadows are not really there, and you don't get that golden glow that you'll get at dawn or dusk.
Twilight hour.
Oh yeah, blue hour is a great time for night shooting. Mm-hmm. So that hour where the sky goes, you know, from basically dusk to night, you get that bluish tinge that really is awesome. And especially if you have lit up architecture, it's fantastic.
Now, let's say you are sightseeing, you're traveling, and you need to take a picture of the Eiffel Tower during the day because that's when you're there. I guess the tip is to, if you're shooting subjects like your family or what have you, have the sun behind you as the photographer instead of behind the subject. And why would that be?
So phone cameras are getting better at that, at illuminating the subject, even though the sun is behind them or a light source is behind them. Ideally, you want it the reverse. You want the light hitting the subject, right
to make it they can look like a silhouette, right?
They can look like a silhouette, and also sometimes the dynamic range is off. So even if you try to sort of add more exposure to the subject, you're ultimately overexposing the background, and that's also a problem too. So phones are, the software in phone cameras is trying to mitigate that and trying to do something about that, but you'll find that in some cases it won't work. I would say the same also for architecture as well. It's always great if you're shooting it so that light is hitting the building or hitting the structure, as opposed to, you know, you're shooting it when like the light's behind it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to look as good.
Yeah. We're chatting with Ted Kurtsonis. He is a photographer, a technology journalist, and a travel expert. So who better to chat with about phonography tips, using your smartphone to take photos. Pardon the ambient noise. We're in a hotel lobby in San Jose, California. We just attended the Samsung Galaxy Unpacked event. Speaking of phones that can take amazing photos, let's talk about Zoom. That seems to be one of the downsides to phones, even though they're getting better. Being able to capture a subject farther away without physically getting closer to them. What are some tips to handling phones that don't have great zoom?
First of all, you need stability. So you need to be holding the phone very, very in a very stable way when you're zooming in, simply because the more you zoom, the easier it is for the photo to get to be blurred based on the movement of your hands. Obviously, if you're zooming in, you're trying to capture a moving subject. So let's say you're at a soccer game, your kid's playing, you're trying to zoom in. That's going to be tough to do simply because they're moving. So I feel like if you have a situation where you're shooting at full resolution, right, 50 megapixels, in Samsung's case is 200, where you can take a photo and then crop in later, great. You can do that. Not every phone's going to offer that, unfortunately. So what I recommend in most cases is, if you can, try to shoot not as zoomed in and then crop in. But if it's a stationary subject, something that's not moving and you're very stable, by all means, zoom in.
Finally, because it's a smartphone, there's built-in tools like filters and powerful editing tools. You already talked a little bit about having the grid as an option, as an overlay, before you even shoot that photo. But what do you think about enhancing the photo before you share it or save it? What's your take on that? Do you like those kinds of things to make it look like you're a better photographer than you really are?
Yeah, I think it's part of, digital photography today. I'm not a big fan of the filters used, say, on Instagram. I always thought they were a little contrived and just a little ridiculous at times.
Yeah, it smooths out your wrinkles and blemishes.
It's
a little over the top these days.
Way over the top. Yeah. The filtering where you're totally changing what the person looks like in a lot of ways. I'm not comfortable with that, honestly.
Ted, it's awesome chatting with you. I'd love to have you back to talk about video tips one day on your smartphone, how to capture the best videos. But until then, what's the best website for our listeners to check out your work?
Muckrack is probably the best place to find me. It sort of aggregates all the different journalism that I do and includes all the photos that I take. And at Instagram, @byteddyk, @BYTeddyK.
Great to see you, Teddy. Fly safe home. Good to talk to you.
Always good to be with you. Thank you, Mark.
And that website, muckrack.com, that he was referencing, where all of his articles will be listed, it's muckrack.com, and type in Ted Kritsonis. We'll be right back with more Tech Talk. Stick with us.
You're listening to Tech Talk, where you won't need a Geek to English dictionary to tune in. Welcoming back our host, Mark Saltzman.
With Valentine's Day coming up, it's a good reminder for those who are single right now and maybe want to change that there are new ways to look for love. And hey, science and technology can play a role here as well. It's about music compatibility. That's what we're going to learn about right now with the matchmaking app Vinyly, with its founder, Rachel Van Nortwick. Thank you, Rachel, for joining us today. I love the name of the app, by the way.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you for having me.
All right. So it's called Vinyly. At a high level, what's it all about?
So the name, it's a sort of a play off of vinyl, of course, and finally, sort of meaning if you're a music fan, you can finally find your match with this app. So I'm a huge lifelong music fan, serial concert goer, and I realized, several years ago that there wasn't an app that matched based on music. And I saw a lot of my friends and family struggling on the traditional dating apps, and music was super important to them. So I created Vinyly with the idea that we would be data forward, meaning unlike some of the other traditional apps, which are more superficial, I wanted Vinyly to really be about matching through your music DNA. So essentially just putting your music self out there in an effort to drive real authentic matches based on music.
I saw on the website for Vinyly that this is science-based technology. So can you elaborate on that? I guess those who like the same music are perhaps a compatible match?
Well, in terms of the science, what's interesting about Vinyly and our mission is that music has been proven to have various positive effects on the brain. Mm-hmm. So as it relates to connections, music, when someone is listening to the music that they love, that positive sensation is heightened in sharing that with someone else. There's a lot of academic research on this, scientific research on this. And, music also certainly has been known to heal people. Generally speaking, listening to music can, increase dopamine, lower cortisol. So it's just, music in itself is a feel good place for many of us. And then if you can find somebody to share it with, it doesn't even need to be, you know, the exact same music that you're into. It can have positive effects for both people.
Mm. Could you explain then how it works? Are you listening to music on the app as you're looking for a date or potential love interest? Or do you fill out a form that basically says, hey, I like this kind of music or this particular artist. I'm a Taylor Swift fan or I love reggae, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So with Vinyly, we have two options. You can sync your Spotify streaming history and then answer a few questions about the role music plays in your life and what's important to you. Mm. You know, we have matches that we produce that way. Or if you prefer, you know, let's say you use a bunch of streaming services, or if you're just, you know, you just collect vinyl, you can create your profile through Vinyly. We have a proprietary profile generator, and same thing, you'll also answer a few questions about, you know, the role music plays in your life. Either way, you know, we present you with all of the matches that we think you'd be compatible with based on our algorithm. Everything Vinyly is music based. So, you know, we order the matches for you from high volume to low volume. We, you know, you can push play on people and shuffle, things like that. There's no swiping. From there, you know, if you come across somebody whose profile is interesting, you can click into them and listen to songs on their playlist. You can see, you know, their first concert, last concert, the artists that they like, all of those things before actually deciding to push play on them.
All right. So it's not like Tinder or other apps where you're swiping left or right to say that you're interested in a potential match. This is more about exploring those who were sort of picked by the data behind Vinyly to suggest they may be a match. And so you can then have a deeper dive and listen to their playlist and read what music means to them, what concert they last attended. They just saw Billy Joel at MSG, that kind of thing. And that's where you reach out if you're interested and then you hope to hear back.
Yeah. So you can send, you know, a chat message to someone that you're interested in, and we provide conversation starters in the app. So, you know, they're all music based and they're actually pulling variable data from, you know, the matches profile, so that you actually, you know, come across like, you know, you've spent some time looking at their profile. And then, you know, you can chat for free. I should mention the app is free. You can actually search, suggest, and buy concert tickets all within the chat as well. So we try to take you kind of from first interest all the way through first date.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And is Vinyly an app only, or is it a website as well?
No, it's just an app, you know, a mobile app that's available on iOS and Android. We don't have, you know, a web app or a web version.
Got it. All right. We are chatting with Rachel Van Nortwick. She is the founder of Vinyly, which fuses vinyl or music appreciation with finally being able to meet someone based on either similar tastes or something else about them that resonates with you musically. And speaking of which, at one point, Rachel, I believe a Spotify account was required to use Vinyly, but that's no longer the case, right?
So yes, when the app first launched, that was the way that we were able to, you know, get your streaming data to be able to, you know, then have our algorithm do the work and create matches. But, you know, we received a lot of feedback that Spotify may not be the primary, you know, music service provider for someone. Mm-hmm. They may also be streaming music for, you know, their kids, or they maybe, you know, we do get this one a lot, like, you know, hey, I was in this interesting phase where I was listening to all this music, but I don't think it represents me. And I want to be able to, you know, curate, you know, my playlist a little bit better. So, you know, what's nice about the Spotify sync, it's super quick. And you also benefit from, you know, our app showing you a bunch of the other like metadata behind the music you're listening to on Spotify. So you can find out like all of the genres that you like and the subgenres. We call them jams, but I mean, it's super cool. It's almost like going through a little bit of a music 23andMe, and you can learn about yourself. But the great thing about signing up through email and going through a profile generator is that anybody that's a music fan can jump on and create a profile in seconds. Similarly, create a playlist, and you can actually edit the playlist over and over through that route. So two different ways to sign up for Vinyly, both really fast and both getting at music and what's important to you.
Okay. You mentioned it was free, or at least the initial chat over the platform, over the app. Is there any paid element? And if not, how does Vinyly make money?
Sure. So all of it's free. There's not an in-app purchase, or there's not currently a, you know, download cost as well. So it's free. You know, we started the app, we launched the app on iOS October 2019, which was right before the pandemic. You know, it just seemed the right thing to do to make the app free, especially because people couldn't meet anybody in person. Sure. Really, dating apps were the only way, and we didn't want to create a barrier. And we were, you know, and still are in growth mode. So for us, that's made sense. In terms of, you know, the app making money, we have some differentiation from other apps in that, you know, Vinyl is also a community of music fans. For that community, they're interested in learning about new artists, tours, and merch, and buying tickets and all of those things. So mm-hmm. Vinyl is working on strategic partnerships with promoters and labels and venues to try to drive, you know, actually like a nice kind of flywheel for both of, you know, our users as well as partners in the music space to, you know, just continue to find connections through music and help ultimately help sell more single tickets, right? So that's partners in the music industry struggle with. It's like, how do we get, you know, two music fans who don't necessarily want to go to a concert alone to find each other and buy tickets and go? So it's very difficult when you have single tickets to move them. So that's what we're hoping to achieve.
That's really neat. And speaking of which, you called yourself a serial concert goer. I like that. All right. So as we wrap up, Rachel, how do we get going with Vinyl? Simply just download the app and set up an account?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So we're available, you know, in the US and Canadian app stores. You can download the app, upload some photos and start chatting today. If you want to try to meet somebody for festival season, which is fast approaching, or just, you know, a concert buddy even to just check out some music with, you can do that. And, you know, we love feedback. So definitely if you have an experience with the app you'd like to share, feel free to reach out to us.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to spell it out. It's Vinyl, if those who are not driving want to jot this down. It's VINYLLY. So like vinyl with an extra LY at the end. Thank you so much for your time, Rachel. Great to chat with you.
Thank you so much.
Before we continue on with this show, I do want to remind our listeners that while we often talk about new gadgets on this program, it's important to properly recycle your old tech, your end-of-life electronics. And it's never been easier to do it. Simply visit recyclemyelectronics.ca, type in your postal code or your address, and you'll find one of many drop-off locations near you. It could be a retailer, community center, a school, and so on, and there's no cost to drop it off. By responsibly recycling your end-of-life electronics, you're keeping them out of the waste stream, and you're helping to recover and recycle valuable resources, which can then be put back into manufacturing. When it comes to your devices, the future is literally in your hands. That website, again, is recyclemyelectronics.ca. A flying car? You betcha. When we return on Tech Talk. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Tech Talk. While it may sound like science fiction, Jetson will be the first to market with its flying car, called the Jetson One. Billed as a safe and fun personal electric aerial vehicle, with deliveries earmarked for 2024 at about $100,000 a pop for those who want to put down a deposit. Investor and customer Will.i.am, yes, from Black Eyed Peas fame, will also train to become a Jetson pilot. Joining us to talk all about Jetson One is Ricard Stiber. He is a senior board advisor and investor with the company as well. Good to chat with you again, Ricard.
Great to be here, Mark. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about Jetson. You are seriously looking to launch a flying car next year?
Yes, absolutely. So I love this, trying to explain this on the radio, but if you visualize the Formula One car that I think most people have seen, and instead of the tires, you essentially have propellers. So it is a drone, like a toy drone, but it's a large toy drone that you can sit in and fly. In here in America, there is a class called ultralight aircraft, which, you know, you've probably seen paragliding and a little sort of delta wing flying around sometimes. So you can actually fly this vehicle, the Jetson One, without the pilot license. We will train you, of course, but for most people in their lives, they've all dreamt about flying at some point. You know, I was a kid and I want to put on my cape and fly out and save, you know, everyone. And now, you know, it is within reach. There's 700,000 people or so who have a commercial pilot license, but it takes a lot of time and money, and so people don't get around to it. But with the opportunity for everyone to fly, we do think that there's a significant opportunity. So now through new drone technology, you know, electric battery technology, and of course, software that makes you fly very easily. You don't actually have to be a very good pilot. The computer kind of helps you take off and land and go where you want to go in an easy way.
And just to be clear, you don't need a runway, right? This is an EVTOL. So that's like an electric vertical takeoff vehicle.
That is absolutely correct. So you can imagine that kind of drone that you have in front of you, and you have one lever on your left hand, which kind of you pull it back and you fly up, and then the joystick in your other hand is kind of your point where you want to go. So it's super easy to fly. You don't need a runway, you don't need a pilot license. And actually, you know, if you were let go in midair, the controls, it will just stop and self-hover like a colibri. And if there's a wind gust coming, you know, the vehicle automatically self-stabilizes so that you're, you know, you're fixed in the air, so to speak.
I will ask you more about the safeguards in a moment, should something happen mid-flight. But just to go back for a moment, so you're saying that as early as next year, someone that can afford to pick this up, we will again confirm costs, that they could take off from their driveway, fly somewhere, like to work, avoid traffic, and land safely. There must be, you know, legislative hurdles and insurance issues and all that, no?
Yeah, so the answer is yes. So in order to fly without the pilot license in this ultralight categories, there are some limitations. And the limitations are the following. You can go maximum 63 miles per hour, which I can assure you is still an adventurous speed for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can go up to 1,500 feet above ground level before you hit the next sort of commercial airspace. And then the battery will last you approximately 20 minutes or 20 miles. And then you can only fly during daytime. You can only be one person. And you cannot fly in cities. You cannot fly at airports. You fly in something called unregulated airspace. So think, you know, the beach, the lake, the ocean, the vineyard, the golf course. Basically where if you needed to land, you wouldn't land on people, essentially.
Okay.
So those are the limitations.
So that last one seems to be the biggest one, I guess. If you live in, you know, downtown New York or even a suburb of Chicago, if it's somewhat residential of an area or anything like that, you can't.
Yeah, so the reason is that if you're in a city, it's called regulated airspace, which means that there are multiple vehicles in the air. So you need to be in contact with the tower, so to speak.
Yeah, sure.
And then you can fly there, but then you need a pilot license. That's one of the requirements to fly in regulated airspace. So I think most of our customers, we sold over 300 right now. Most of our customers are using this for recreational. So they will go along the ocean. They would fly over forest, vineyard. So it's more for recreational. Some of them people live, you know, maybe they have a large boat or they have, as you said, a cabin or something. So I would say today the customers are recreational. Over time, we do think that this will be a great use case for, you know, ambulance, police, first responder, military, logistics, and things like
sure.
that as well.
And maybe one day in those cities that have like ridiculous traffic, like say LA or in Canada and Toronto, that you could fly from point A to point B once everything's all approved. Who knows when that will be, but that would be awesome. Yeah.
Definitely. You'll have lanes in the sky, just as in the cartoon, the Jetsons.
Yeah. Great name, by the way. And speaking of a big name, Will.i.am, he's involved. Talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah. So I think Will.i.am, I mean, of course he's a, you know, tech entrepreneur and very famous artist with a black piece, which I love, but he is actually a little bit of a tech geek. So he has spent a lot of time rebuilding everything from Bentleys to Tesla cars. So we met him earlier this year, and I think when he saw the Jetson, he was like a kid in a candy store. So it was love at first sight. So he came on board not just as an investor, but also as a customer. And I think he is dying to get his own Jetson and fly very soon.
That's awesome. We are chatting with Rickard Stiber, Senior Board Advisor and Investor of Jetson. This is a company that is readying the Jetson One, a personal electric aerial vehicle that will be available as early as 2024. It is $100,000 a pop. That's only for early bird kind of sale. Is there another price that those who do wait would have to cough up?
Well, you cough up 10,000 as a first down payment, and then the next one. I think the prices are probably going to go up, actually.
Right. It's kind of like a crowdfunded deal where if you're an early bird buyer, then you save. That's kind of the incentive.
Yeah, I think prices are going to go up.
And it's electric, I mentioned. So how long does that battery take to juice up?
Yeah. So it's like charging your electric car. So it will take you probably 35 minutes to fully recharge it.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is that if you fly underneath the vehicle, you have these almost like cassettes that you can pull out and put some battery cassettes. You pull them out and you put them in the charger, and then you insert a fresh pair. So it's sort of easy to swap out your batteries and essentially, you know, if you fly to your summer house and maybe you want to fly back directly, you can swap and fly back.
What if it breaks? Because it is a machine. Yeah. Is there like a parachute?
So this is the, you know, like your Tesla car, software is, you know, increasingly important. So I would say the secret sauce of safety is the triple redundant flight computer, which essentially helps you take off. It also helps you to land. It has a radar underneath so that you can always land safely. It will only land if there's nothing beneath you. It also has a LiDAR. Think of it as a different kind of radar behind you so you don't fly into something on the behind. To your point, it has a ballistic parachute. So if something were to happen high up, the parachute will save you. But actually, the computer is connected to it's actually 8 propellers, sort of 4 pairs of 2. So if something, if it's sensing that something goes wrong, it will help you land immediately. And also if the battery performance will go down, it will help you land immediately. So you will have a nice little overview on a screen in front of you, similar to your, you know, your electric car, that everything is as good as it should be. And if there are anything that senses any problem, it will help you to land right away.
Before we wrap up, how many years do you think, Ricard, that we will see flying cars and flying, you know, rideshare vehicles in the air?
I think it's already happening. As William Gibson said, the future is already here. It's not just evenly distributed. So
yeah.
I think the technology is, you know, I live in Silicon Valley, so here you have already drone deliveries and you have flying cars and self-driving cars. So for us, the cartoon, the Jetsons, which is, you know, vision of the future. I think at some point, you're right. If you're in Toronto or in LA, you will be flying in the sky above that traffic. But it will probably take, you know, 10, 15 years from now.
As we wrap up, Ricard, it's a $10,000 deposit and it'll be about $100,000 in total if you buy it to now. Is there a cutoff for that low, low price?
Yeah.
And where can we learn more? Where's the best place? Is it the website that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think if you go to Jetson.com, you will see our vehicle. And if you just Google Jetson 1, there will be a lot of very exciting videos for anyone to watch. So stay in touch and hope we'll take you flying soon.
Awesome. Ricard, thank you so much. And congrats on the official announcement for Jetson 1 availability. Thanks again, Ricard.
Thank you so much for having me.
You might say it's never going to happen, but I think it's really cool and hopefully it will. Hey, thank you for listening to Tech Talk powered by Chevrolet Canada. Check them out at chevrolet.ca. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And I look forward to catching up with you next time for another episode of Tech Talk. Bye-bye for now.
Don't forget to tune in to Tech Talk next weekend for more tech news you can use, interviews, reviews, and how-tos. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman.